From the Das Mikra. Okay, I hope you'll forgive me for copying the... I'm sure it says it's also the copy, but I don't think anyone's going to go out and buy the Sefer today, so... Bilski once told me, I once did some shock and I make a photocopy. I wanted to copy a whole Sefer. A whole Sefer, give it out to the Daf Yomi. We're learning the Sefer Tomid. And it was someone who wrote a fantastic collection of images, diagrams, describing some... So I went to Bilski and I asked him, I want to copy a shiur about 5-10 people. I want to copy the whole thing. Like 10-20, it was like a little kuntras. It was like, a whole Sefer, like 20 pages. I want to copy the whole thing and give it out. Am I allowed to do it? So he said to me, if you wouldn't copy it, would the people go buy the Sefer? I said, it's impossible. It's out of print. It's out of print. And even if it was in print, for one night, to go over it for one night, never. There's no Shiloh, no one's. And so he says, then it's okay, you can do it. Especially, he says, if you're not going to cause, the main issue is you're not allowed to have cause the person a loss, cause them a monetary loss. And when it comes to Torah, I don't know if he told me this, but I saw this in other svarim. When it comes to Torah, there is a different standard. There's a much more lenient standard in learning when it comes to copying in Torah. When it comes to limudei chol, copying software, programs, or tapes, musical tapes, so there the rules are a little more stringent. When it comes to Talmud Torah, no one's a balabas on Torah. Torah is Hashem's Torah. If a person is mechadesh Torah, it's not so simple. You have a right to deny someone from learning your Torah, your mechadesh. If you're causing the loss of money, that's a very serious thing. Okay, that's a very serious thing. So I don't think by copying this, I'm sure they must have here in the Hakdama to the Da. This is a very famous. A very famous Sefer, the Atlas Das Mikra. Everyone knows the Sefer? I'm sure you all see this around. The Atlas Das Mikra. It's a very popular Sefer. And hopefully this, by learning, will be an advertisement. Maybe some of you will want to buy it. Okay, it goes through the entire Tanakh. And every time there's geography in Tanakh, they present here images, diagrams, and an elaborate explanation of what exactly we're referring to. So here they have a page or two on Sefer Yechezkel, of course referring to the Gevuloi Saaretz, as we have over here. And we already went through a few things. So maybe we'll just go back and read the psukim that we read before. We get a little bit of more of an appreciation of where these locations are and what are the Gevulois of Eretz Yisrael at the time of Mashiach. Okay, so let's just maybe go back. We did this already, but I'm not going to go through the forest. We'll just read the words of the Psalm Pasuk, because now that we have that in front of us, it will be a little more interesting. We're up to Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Mem Zayin, Yud Zayin. But we're going to go back now, just to get more of a flavor. Let's start from Pasuk Yud Dalet. Just to run through the Psukim, Unechaltem Oysa Ish Ke Achiv. Okay, the land will be inherited. In fact, Mem Zayin Pasuk Yud Dalit. Unechaltem Oysa Ish Ki Achiv Asher Nasasi Yesodi L'Sito La'Avoseichem. Pasuk here says that every person in Klal Yisrael will inherit the land. Each one will get an equal portion. Okay, we'll see more about that later when we actually break up the land into 13 parts. And every Shevet will get an equal portion, which, if I'm not mistaken, is 25,000 amos. We'll see in width. We'll come to that. And this is Lim, which I have sworn, Nasasi Yesodi, I lifted up my hand in the Shvul, the Sito La'avoseichem, the Nafla Haaretz Azos Lochem B'Nachala, and it will fall to you as a Nachala. Okay, now, we discussed this last week, is that when the Lim was divided in the time of Yehoshua, I felt that it was different. When the land was divided in the time of Yeshua, it was divided by a goyro. It was divided by a lottery. And here in the time of the Shiach, it's not going to be divided by a lottery. The Pasuk here says exactly the way it's going to be divided, yet the Pasuk used the words v'nafla. The word v'nafla, if I'm not mistaken, typically is used in connection with a goyro. When you cast lots, so may the chips fall where they may. Is that not the expression?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's more like chance.
It was
what?
There was a girl.
But even if those Baruch HaKodesh, it appears to the naked eye that there is a degree of teva.
Yes.
Of course, it was Baruch HaKodesh, but there was the goyel, there was a lottery. There was a lottery, and this is the way the lottery came out. This is the way it worked out, and no one could complain. Of course, there were checks and balances. The whole thing could not be understood al derech ha-teva. It was certainly al pi Ruach HaKodesh. But there was something physical that was done, which, when everything was said and done, it was a goyel.
In the background could be a grievance, but you have to live with it.
Right.
What?
In the background could be grievances.
Grievance, right, in the
case. But you have to live with it.
Anyone that will later come along and say that it's not fair, and say, listen, it was a girl. The bottom line was it was a girl, and therefore this is the way it came out, and therefore no one has a right to complain. In the times of Mashiach, we're not going to need to come onto a girl. It's going to be coming straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's also another difference, and that is that there's nothing to fight about, because everyone is getting the exact amount of land. The only thing you would to fight about maybe is where the order, where which part of the limb. But maybe that also is not necessarily something to fight about, because it's going according to, there's a logic to the names, to the order of the Shvatim. And they were born in a certain order. And the way they are arranged, okay, it's not really clear what the order is. We have to maybe study that in more detail. But there is an order, there's a logic to the order. So there's really not that much to complain about. So maybe that's a reason why there's no need for a goyel, because every shevet is getting exactly the same amount of land. And they're just dividing the land up linear. They're just lining the land up. They're slicing the land in order. That's okay, that's one approach. But on a higher level, the approach is that over here, the land is being given to Klal Yisrael directly by Hashem, and there's no middleman, and everyone at this time point in time has emunah pshuta in Hashem. Therefore, there's no need for there to be a goyel. We can accept what Hashem says through the words of the Navi, and everyone is happy. No one's going to complain. The point I just wanted to make is the word v'nafla. The word v'nafla, seemingly it's not a word you would expect to use in reference to a gift. V'nafla, typically, if not mistaken, is something that fits better into a lottery. When there is a goyel, and this is the way it works out. This is the way it falls out, that this one gets this portion, this one gets that portion. The word v'nafla means to fall. Fall is something natural, gravity. Yeah,
it's what's used in
Yonah,
right? When they do the
girl, yeah, it says nafla. I think by it says what it say in the Megillah. There's also used with it says with v'nafal. I don't remember the exact words.
Hepil.
Hepil means to cast down. So the word hepil, you see the word hepil and the word noifel in used in connection with a lottery. There is no lottery, so why is the word v'nafla being used? The land will be divided. Techolek ha'aretz. This is how the land will be divided. The word appears to be out of place. So I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer.
Yeah,
it's just something.
Right,
it's something curious. There's something obviously deeper. There's something more significant that's taking place over here, which I do not know. I just want to pose the question to you. Okay, now pasuk tezvav. Those who came in after, it's in Perik Mem Zayin pasuk tezvav. Vezer gvul ha'aretz lefas sofayna. Now we're going to the north boundary. Now the north boundary, look out now. If you look at Har HaHar, if you look at this piece of paper, look all the way on the very, very top where it says Har HaHar. Okay, and there's he drew here a line. I'm assuming here in the Das Mikra, that line is really the northern border. It's called Hamas. That's indeed where the boundary ends, Hamas. If you see here on the side, it's on an angle. It says the word Hamas. Then it says Don Osher Naphtali. That's going to be their portion. But notice how high. I mean, where is that today in the modern world?
Like Turkey.
That's Turkey. That's way, way up. That's way past. That's way past Lebanon. Okay, that's
current border is here.
Okay, so that's way, way past. So you see over here where Reuven is the current border, correct? So we're going way, way, all the way up to the very, very top. That the land is being expanded to the north, and likewise to the south, all the way down to Mitzrayim.
But the southern border is not as far as it goes.
Not
today.
As far, right? But it's no.
Sure, the Gulf of Aqaba, it lies by the Gulf of Aqaba, which is in the middle over there.
It ends. today, where does the border of modern Israel?
Where the water is, in the middle of the map is a water. That's where Eilat is.
This is one arm then, which is
the Gulf of Aqaba.
Here, this on the bottom over here?
Yeah. That's where
so Eilat today is. It goes all the way down. Right. So you should know indeed that's a very big Shaila, Eilat. That's an old Shaila. Is Eilat part of Eretz Yisrael Halacha? You observe 2 days, you go to a hotel in Eilat. For Yom Tif, is it called Chutz Li'aretz? Do you need to observe 2 days Yom Tif? Are you chayv in Shumas Ma'isrois? Okay, that's an old Shaila. I don't know what they do. There are different opinions of how far Kibush was that part of the Kibush. What?
That.
I don't know the answer. Does anyone know? Anyone know? It's. I don't think it's so clear if a lot, and the area down there. It's a very popular tourist attraction. Is that part of the biblical original Nachal that's hinted over here, the Eretz Yisrael, time of Moshe Rabbeinu, time of Yeshua, and is it part of the Kibush Sheni, and is it part of the boundaries of the Bayis Shlishi? So sitting over here, it seems not, right? At least the way it's being presented in this picture, not, but that's not, this picture is not necessarily accurate according to all of the opinions. In any event, let's see here the northern border. The northern border over here is over here on the top. It says the pasuk Tezvav, Vizeg Vul Aretz Lefas Safayna. Here is the boundary on the northern side. Min Hayam Hagadol. So we see the Yam Hagadol. That is the Hayam. Obviously, that's the major bulk of this piece of paper over here. The Yam Hagadol. Haderech Chesloin. The traveling along the Derech Cheslin does not over here show Derech Cheslin on this piece of paper. Lavo to come to Tzedada. Okay, it does not really show very much here, unfortunately, on this paper. I'm assuming that dotted line on top is what he refers to. That is the Derech Chesloin to go to the place called Sedada. Pasik Tezayin, Chamos. That you see very clearly there on the piece of paper. Chamos, the very, very top, it says in big black letters, Chamos. Beit Rosa, that it does not say. That's the name of a place which is mysteriously missing. And Sivrayim, Asher ben Gvul Damesek. These are places that are between the Gvul of Damesek. Now Damesek,
Syria, right?
You see Damesek, you see where it says Damesek, which is like right in the middle, where it says Ruvain, Damesek, and within Gvul Hamas. These cities that he mentioned, called Beit Rosa, Sivrayim, are between the Gvul of Damesek, Uven Gvul Hamas, and also the place called the Chotzer HaTichoin. We don't know what that is. There's a place called there, another area called Chotzer HaTichoin, within the place. And Asher El Gvul Chevron, which is up against the Gvul of Chevron. Now, on this piece of paper here, he's not showing us very much, but at least we get at least
a question mark.
What?
There's a question mark.
He has a question mark for where?
Yeah.
For here's Tzedada. Okay, he talks about there Tzedada. Chatzar, you know, that's a little later on, Tzedada. Possibly before it said to come to Tzedada. You travel in the Dader Chatzlan Lovo to Tzedada. Tzedada is Tzedada. And he puts a question mark. Is that really what we were referring to? Okay, whatever it is. So this is the basic area. The basic idea over here is he's trying to show over here is this little Hamas. Hamas all the way up there in the north. It's where it's Har Har. And what he's calling Har. And that's all similar. We know what Har Har is.
That's where Har is buried.
Yeah, but it's not. We don't know today what is Har Har. There are many candidates. Well, not in the old Eretz Yisrael, but I mean, in this picture, it's not also an Eretz Yisrael. So we don't know. We don't know. There are many candidates today. What is Har HaHar?
Yeah.
There are many different mountains. Some say it's in Jordan. In this picture, obviously, it's not. It's in Turkey over here. It's
Har HaHar is part of Turkey.
Well, we don't know. Whatever it is, we don't know what it is. Over here, he has a suggestion, Har HaHar. Okay, then he says Sudad, and we have over here Hamas, and we have here Damesek. And there is a mysterious place called the Gvul, the Chatzar Tichoin. These are places that we will do. And then Chatzar Einon, he does over here put a question mark. Now, by the way, the Mefarshim pointed out the Chatzar Einon is. No, we didn't do that yet. That's where we're up to. We didn't get to that yet. Okay, that's Pasuk Yitzayin. So let's actually read Pasuk Yitzayin now together. Pasuk Yitzayin, the Chayog Gvul Min Hayom. Now, the Pasuk over here is repeating itself, it's giving you more details. The Gvul be min hayam, from the Yam, Chatzar Einon, It will include Chatzar Eino. Now notice, it says here in this picture, on the right side, the extreme right, Chatzar Einon. In the Torah, where it describes the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael and Parashas Maaseh, it says Chatzar Einon, not Chatzar Einon. Question, is this the same place? Is Einon and Einon the same place? It's just sometimes the words are spelled differently, perhaps. Gvul, this is the Gvul Damnesek. This is the boundary of Damnesek. And you see in this picture over here, you see Damascus, Syria. And then it says something very unclear. Vit Safoin Safoina. Keep on going north. I've given you over here a couple of areas along the northern border, but that's not where it ends. It really goes much, much higher north. Ugvul Hamas. It goes all the way to the boundary of Hamas on the top of the piece of paper. The ace, and furthermore, pa'as, I find the side, the northern side. It's extremely vague. It's extremely vague, and you're not going to have any clarity. All of the mafarshim on the page over here, everyone has different interpretation of what's going on. Basically, we've gone over here through how many psukim? Three psukim, describing the northern boundary, and I think we come out more confused than clear in what this means. Let's just try to read some of the words of the pasuk in the mitzvah of the pasuk Yitzayin to get at least a little bit of appreciation of what we're trying to figure out, what the northern boundary will be in terms of Mashiach. In the mitzvah of the pasuk Yitzayin, v'hayogvul achshav, according to his interpretation, now Omar derech klol shagvul hatzvon yemin hayom ad chatzar einon hamuskar batoyra v'soyv gvul tzvoni. Right now in this pasuk, its purpose is to repeat, to give you a general description. Back in Pasuk Tes Vav and Tes Zayin, we've given you a detailed list of cities and roads that describe the northern boundary. Now we are giving you a general description of the northern boundary. Now if you were writing these psukim, you would probably do just the opposite. Would you not do so? If you want to give a person a description, normally you have an overview. The basic northern boundary is this region. And then you would go into detail and tell me the exact road to take and which city you pass and which boundary you come up against. But it's very mysterious why Yechezkel is doing just the opposite. According at least to the parish of the Mitzudot Stavi, where first he gives you a detailed description of the northern boundary. He tells you the cities, he tells you the roads, he tells you the boundaries. And now, according to the Mitzudos, when Pasuk Yitzayin seems to be teaching us something different, or seems to be contradicting itself, he's coming to give us a general description. That's not the way you normally do things. Okay, that's just not the normal way to describe something. So I don't... What?
The northern border is more difficult to describe than the other borders. Because the other borders have natural... Landmarks, or like the sea on one side, the Yarden,
right,
and so on south. But the north, it doesn't have any of those.
That's why it's very elaborate.
Marker or anything like that.
So we need to come onto roads. We need to give you a general description. We need to give you a specific description in the Chanami. Okay, but over here, he's telling us that this word Chatzar Einon is what the Torah says in Parashas Maaseh, the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. And what we're coming to do over here is we're coming to repeat it, to mention this. And this is right opposite Damascus, Klape Hadoroim, towards the southern side. Now, I guess this means the southern side of what? I don't know what he means, the southern. We're in the north, so I'm not exactly sure what he means, the southern part of the Damascus. I don't know what he means over here. V'demsheches l'mizrach l'halon mechatzer hatichayin, and it keeps on going to the east, further than...
Maybe that border line dips south.
The border dips into the southern portion of Damascus.
And then heads east.
Okay. And it goes all the way lehalon mechatzer hatichayin. On this chart, on this illustration, there is no mention of chatzer hatichayin, which basically means it's somewhere over there. We don't know where it is. And somewhere where it says Rivla, Sadad, and Chatzar Einon, and perhaps even further, that is all part of the area, the general area that is the northern section, the northern extreme of Eretz Yisrael. Now the next words of the pasuk are vitzafoin tzafoina. Now what does this mean? What do these mysterious words mean in pasuk Yitzayin? Return to Lamar. Ushor ore gvul hatzafoin. Do not make a mistake and think that this is where it ends. This is the tip. That's not the tip. There's more. There are other smaller cities, other areas in that region that's also part of the north. Vishor ore gvul hatzafoin. Heim ore hatzafoini. These are the northern cities. Hamuskarim batayra that are mentioned in the Torah. Okay, pasuk gvul chamos. What else? Return to Leimar. V'oid gam chamos. Tiyemina gvul. Chamas, in this piece of paper, is all the way on top. You see chamas on an angle. V'adin shor hamukamis and iskarim l'malo. Ko'imer hinei b'shum mokim lo tiktan ha'aretz yisrael mitkmo shahaysa. So here is where the Mitsudos makes the point that is important to understand. The important point, even though we do not have an exact understanding of the exact details, do not make a mistake and think that the boundaries will shrink in the times of Mashiach. Adarabba, the land will expand. Now you should be aware, hopefully I'll be able to find a few, I marked it off somewhere here, some of the commentators disagree. Isn't that amazing? That the boundary will get smaller. Is that land that used to be part of Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Mashiach will not be part of the land, before Mashiach, in times of the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, will not necessarily be part of the land of Eretz Yisrael in the future. That means for Trumois, Maisrois, and the Kedushas Haaretz, shocking thing, how could it be that land that once upon a time had Kedusha will not have Kedusha? Kedusha Rishon Kitchel L'Shaita, that's Machlokes in the Gemara, Kitchel L'Shaita, V'Kitchel L'Aslava, or Uloi Kitchel L'Aslava. And so, but that's only what they conquered. And that's a question. One thing is for certain, in the time of the Bayis Sheni, they did not conquer everything that was part of the land in the Bayis Rishon. So although we have a principle that the Kedusha Shnia, everyone seems to hold to the principle, Kedusha Rishon was Kitchel L'Shaita, V'Loi Kitchel L'Aslava. But Kedusha Shniyah, whatever was conquered at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, Kedusha Shniyah, whatever they conquered, retained its Kedusha even after the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. But what they conquered during the time of the Bayis Sheni was not as much as what was conquered at the time of the Bayis Rishon. So there was a chunks of land that lost its Kedusha. That's clear. I mean, according to these opinions, according to me, that says that whatever they conquered at the time of Yehoshua was desanctified at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. If it was not reconquered at the time of the Bayis Sheni, it never got its new Kedusha. It never was re-sanctified. And if it's not going to be re-sanctified at the time of Mashiach, then it means, in the big picture of things, of the world history, there's going to be a chunk of land that once upon a time had Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yehoshua, and now at the time of the Bayis Shlishi, when Mashiach has come, this chunk of land does not have Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the result is. Because the Kedusha Rishon was the Shait of Velo L'Asalavo. In the Bayis Sheni, they did not reconquer everything. L'Chayru were waiting for the Bayis Shlishi to take back what is rightfully ours. No, according to some of the commentators, how they read the Pesukim, I'll read you the words in a moment if I can find them inside over here, not necessarily. Not necessarily will it be that at the time of the Bayis Shlishi will they conquer more than what we have already conquered at the time of the Bayis Sheni. And thus, it will remain until the end of the world, whatever that means. There's going to be land that used to be part of Eretz Yisrael and is no longer part of Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that a shocking thing? It's a very shocking thing. Talk about people today who, for the sake of peace, want to give back land to the Arabs. What? They want to trade. Okay, this is an ongoing discussion going on for the last 70 years. Is there such a thing as, is for the purpose of peace, is it even halakhically permissible? Permissible? Is it morally correct? Is it strategically correct, politically correct, to give up land and concede land to the other nations, the Palestinians or Arabs, in order for the sake of peace? So you'll say, how, if this land, so you'll talk about the different chunks of land. It's one thing to talk about Yerushalayim, okay, that's off limits, obviously. Even though there are people that are willing to do that also. But let's not go away from there. Let's talk about the extreme parts of the land. Sinai. Okay, was Sinai part of Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Bayis, in the time of the Bayis Sheni? L'chor not. Was it the time of the Bayis Rishon? Probably. Right? Probably. The Sinai Peninsula was a part of the Kedushas Ha'aretz in the time of Yoshua?
What was the
I don't know. It's not so clear. What? You have to go to Sefer Yoshua, take out the maps, and figure it out. It's not clear. A lot of things are not clear. It's not clear. So just think about that. Think of that again. Let's say, for argument's sake, think about that. That Sinai, they gave up, obviously. We all know the history. They gave it back. So let's say, Luyitsuya, why did they conquer it to begin with? Because if you talk to a religious Zionist, they'll tell you this is part of the land. This is our heritage. This is what Hashem promised Avraham Avinu. And this is what they conquered in the time of Yoshua. But what happened? In the time of the Bayis Sheni, when Ezra and Nehemiah came to conquer the land, they certainly did not conquer it. They did not conquer that part of the land. So that land did not get Kedushas Haaretz. Right? Sinai, how many days did they keep Shabbos in Sinai when they had it? Yom Tov. I don't know. Probably two. I mean, you know, just because you live in Chutz Liaretz, by the way, does not necessarily mean, this is another halachic issue, just because you live in Chutz Liaretz does not necessarily mean you keep 2 days Yom Tov. You can live in Chutz Liaretz and you can keep 1 day Yom Tov if the shluchim are close enough to get there. Okay, doesn't mean that. So let's talk about the laws of Trumos and Maestros. The laws of, yeah?
Doesn't the Torah list the border as Nachal Mitzrayim?
Yes, so no one can tell you today with certainty what is Nachal Mitzrayim. What?
The famous line that someone says about that, Rashi holds that Nachal Mitzrayim is the Nile. And he said, and this person said, I'm not such a machmer, I hold only to Wadi El Arish.
Okay, only until Wadi El Arish. Okay, but there are probably other interpretations of what is Nachal Mitzrayim. Okay, we don't know, and where is the Yam Suf? They crossed something so fundamental. Kriyas Yam Suf. Can you show me on the piece of paper where is Kriyas Yam Suf? Does anyone know where Kriyas Yam Suf is?
Rabbi Deutsch from Living
Turkey. Yeah.
He knows exactly. But they found wheels of chariots.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
They found wheels of chariots.
No, he shows it on video.
Okay, all right, so maybe he's right. Listen, he knows him a lot more than I do, that's for sure. But it's not, okay, so they put some nice words on the piece of paper. It doesn't mean anything. No one knows. This is a major, major disagreement, major, major discussion. Where was Kriyas Yam Suf? And there are so many different opinions. It's so broad, vast. So everything is subject to interpretation. Just think about this idea. There's such a possibility where, at least according to some of the Farshim, is that let's say Sinai, for argument's sake, it was part of the Kibush Yehoshua. So it definitely achieved Kedushas Haaretz. It was the Chiv of Chumois and Maestros, Mida Torah. And if you live there, you settle there, you mekayim the mitzvah derais of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But with the Churban Bayis Rishon, according to one opinion in the Gemara, the Kedusha dissipated. It dissipated from the whole Eretz Yisrael. Kedusha Rishon, Kitsha L'Shaita, Viloi, Kitsha L'Asilavo. It dissipated. 70 years later, Ezra and Nehemiah came back to Eretz Yisrael with a very, very small group of Jews, and they reconquered just a very small section of Eretz Yisrael. And over time, they conquered more. Okay, it was an ongoing project. But when the project was over, they didn't conquer nearly as much land that was conquered in the time of the Bayis Rishon. And whatever they conquered, Chazal tell us, Kedusha Shenia, Kitsha L'Shaita, V'Kitsha L'Asilavo, retained its Kedusha Ad Hayom Hazeh. But there were chunks of land they never conquered, including Sinai. So that never got back its Kedusha. Now, Israel, what year did they conquer Sinai? 67. So they conquer it. Was the conquering of Sinai by the IDF, does that give it Kedusha? No, I don't think so. There are towns there, but does that give it Kedusha? According to Chazal, you'll probably find people that will tell you yes. I have no doubt about that. But let's assume the mainstream Orthodox Jewry will tell you no. It's not yet in terms of Mashiach. We don't have the koyach to give it Kedusha. And now, there's a debate. Should we give it back? Okay? They're under pressure to give it back. You're giving it up. For good. You give it up for good. Even when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, you could have it. So that means when Mashiach is going to come and there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash and there's going to be Trias HaMesim, that piece of land we're going to give up for good is not going to have Kedusha, even though it had Kedusha at the time of Yehoshua? Yeah, according to some opinions.
Not according to everybody.
Not according to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to understand.
It's hard to understand. The Mitsudos here is coming to reject what I just said. And the reason why he's coming to reject it is because he's responding to some of the other Mepharshim on the page. That not, maybe not in this pasuk, but in the next pasuk, some of them say it explicitly. Who says that's right? That's right. Study the boundaries, and if you know geography, you really know geography, and you study the boundaries, you're going to be very surprised to discover that in the time of the Bayis Shlishi, the land is a bit smaller in certain areas than it was in the time of the Bayis Rishon. How are you talking? Can there be such a thing? So the Mitzudos here says, no, no, no. If you're going to learn pshat in the pasuk, and it comes out, and it results in such a way, you're learning the wrong pshat. Because it cannot be that in the Bayis Shlishi, there's going to be less than there was in the Bayis Rishon. This is his understanding. Okay, which the Mitzudos is, you know, he's like the Rashi for Nach. So let's see the words inside of Yehovah, what he says to appreciate that point. When it says over here, Vitzafon, I'm in Pasuk Yud Zayin, in the middle of Pasuk Yud Zayin, where it says, Vitzafon, Tzafon, or Tzafon, Lamar, Ushaor, Ore, Gvul, Hat, Tzafon, the other cities, Heim, Ore, Hat, Tzafon, Hamusar, Matara, Gvul, Hamas, Return, Lamar, Gat, Void, Gam, Hamas, Tia, Hamina, Gvul, Vuadin, Shar, Mokoimos, Hanis, Kam, Lamar, Lucha, Oimer, Hine, Bishum, Mokoim, here is where his keywords are, Loitiktan, Eretz, Yisrael, Mikimo, Shehoisa, make no mistake, I disagree with all of my friends. Eretz Yisrael in the times of Mashiach will not be less than what it was in the time of the Bayis Rishon. Ki gam le'osid yihiyu kol ori ha'givul ha'amur ba'Torah, all of the cities of the boundary which are mentioned in the Torah, the Yisrachev oid yoyser. And it's going to get even larger. Ki gam chamos, even Hamas, the Hadoimim, which were not part of Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yehoshua, Yiyu B'Seich HaGevul. Now, the point he's making over here is the cities that are mentioned in the Torah, Chatzar Enon, and Chatzar, okay, it's not really clear which cities, there are cities are higher than what it seems to have said in Pasuk Tezvav and Tezayin. In Pasuk Tezov Tezayin, it talks about the Derech Min Hayom HaGodol HaDerech Chesloin Levo Tzedada. Now, in this piece of paper, it shows this thing called Tzedad with a dot and with a question mark. And then it says this Hamas. Now, Hamas is a city. There are Hamas all over the place. There are many places called Hamas. It's not just a region. There's also a city called Hamas, which we don't know where it is over here, and Beirosa. And
there's one today.
What?
There is one today.
In the north.
In Syria. Mm-hmm.
And then there is Beirosa, and there's Sivrayim. Asher ben Gvul Damesek uben Gvul Hamas. Between the Gvul of Damesek and the Gvul of Hamas. Now what Hamas are we referring to? We don't know. Is that a region? Or is that a city? And then it talks of the Chotzer HaTichoyna, Asher Gvul Chevron, the Gvul of Chevron, which we don't know what that is either. Then, what the Mitzudos is coming to point out, wait a minute, every single city that we have listed, and every road, and every boundary that we've listed in Pasuk Tezayin, is below the northern boundary that's mentioned in Parshas Maaseh. Hayitachin? Does this mean to say that in the time of Mashiach, the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael is going to shrink to a lower, to the south? Can this possibly be? So that's what it says down in Pasuk Yud Zayin, where he really first starts off by telling us the general region. No, 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 don't make any mistake about it. Even though when I've told you that this is the northern boundary, and I've listed off you all of these cities which are lower than what you're familiar with, Don't worry. You're also going to have the chunk of land that's higher, that's more north, as is mentioned in Parshas Maaseh. I'm repeating it again. Don't make any mistake. Don't be misled. It will indeed go from the Yam, Minahayam, Chatzar Einon, all the way to the place called Chatzar Einon, which is not really clear where this is. And we don't even know what is a Chatzar Einon, Chatzar Einon. In this picture here, it says Chatzar Einon. So that's not necessarily the same thing as Chatzar Einon.
But it wouldn't be the first time you had
slightly. Okay, that's right. Okay, so you can play with it either way. Gevul Damesek, Vitzofoin Sofoino, north, more north, more north, Ugvul Hamas, the Gvul of now the region of Hamas, the Ace Pass Safon, it goes all the way up to the very, very top, and that's how he appears to be learning Pshat in this Pasuk. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yitzayin, is a little different. Rashi Yitzayin says, Vayigvul Minayama Achatzainan, Vahoyigvul Ruach Safoin. The northern border will be Minayom ad Chatzar Einon, until this place called Chatzar Einon. Okay, next, Gvul Damesek, Shuhu, now Rashi adds in one word. Rashi says, where is Chatzar Einon? It is Bigvul Shuhu, Bigvul Damesek. It's along the boundary of Damesek, Shechatzar Einon, B'miktsoyat Sefoinis Mizrachis, it is in the northeast corner. On this picture, so he shows you a little place called Chatzar Einon, without, he pronounced it different, not without the Vav, and he has a question mark, and that little place, obviously, is right up against, you see Damesek, you see along the corner, the boundary of Damesek. Kimoi Shemafarish Bigvulin Shakosav Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholom, like it says in the Torah, Chatzar Einon. It says in the Torah that the northern boundary gives you some description. Then it says that Toitzav means that it will expand. It will expand in the direction of Chatzar Einon. Notice in the Torah there is no Vav. And then it says V'his Avisem Lochem L'Gvul Kedma, and then it will spread out. Another word which means to spread out to the Gvul Kedma, to the eastern boundary, Mechatzar Einon, the Goymer, Gvul, then Rashi here says, Gvul Damesek, B'miktsoet Sefoinis Mizrachis, Eitzel Chatzar Einon. He's just repeating himself that the Gvul of Damesek is along the corner, the northeast corner of Chatzar Einon, Kemosh Amar Lamala, Chatzar Einon, Gvul Damesek. As you see in this picture, if we're assuming that this little dot on the right side, Chatzar Einon, with a question mark, is what the pasuk refers to, you see it's right up against this thing called Damesek, and this region called Damesek, and that's what it means. Next, Ugvul. Okay, the next words are Ugvul, Rash, Ugvul, Hamas. B'miktsoet Tzvanis Maravis. We have the boundary of Hamas, and B'miktsoet Tzvanis Maravis. Now this is in the northwest. So now it's describing you, if you look at the picture, the Gvul of Hamas. Okay, so Hamas, I don't know, it doesn't really show you, it just shows it's right up against this thing called Hor Hahar and Arenis. Okay, that river, or whatever it is, that's where it says, Shenemar, Zeh Elchem Gvul Tzafoin Min Hayam HaGadol Tisa'u Lochem, it shall turn Lochem Hor Hahar. You see in this picture, Hor Hahar, that is what it says in the Torah. May Hor Hahar Tisu Levo Hamas, and from Hor Hahar, it turns to Hamas. Umisham, and from there it goes to Tzedada. Where is Tzedada? Chayr, it's not the same Tzedada as on this piece of paper. On this piece of paper, the Tzedada, he calls it Tzedad, and it's much, much lower down, probably hundreds of miles below where the line.
These are not that great there.
No, is that hundreds of miles?
No, we're talking about really small countries.
Okay, maybe 100 miles then? 50 miles?
Maybe.
Okay, whatever it is, Lovach Misham Tzedada. All right, so that's the general idea. As you see over here, he makes that dotted line. He looks like Google Maps. It looks like Google Maps, and yet when they tell you to go, when you ever go Google Maps to go walk around, you know, if not for Google Maps, I could have not have gone to Eretz Yisrael. I owe them everything. I go to Eretz Yisrael, I sit there wherever I go, like they look at me like I'm a sugar nut. I sit like this, walk here, walk there, left, right, get ready to get to the bus. It's amazing. It's unbelievable how to get around from bus to bus to walk from here to here. You just type it in, it tells you exactly where you are, and it tells you to walk, and it draws a map for you with dots, and watches your every step, just like this little dotted line over here on the top, it tells you where to go. It's amazing. I was going with it with some my brother. This is a year and a half ago. So he learned there for a long time in Eretz Yisrael. He learned there for I know Tkufa. He learned there, so he knew the territory very, very well. Like where Mir Yeshiva is, that whole area, Geula, whatever the whole area is. So I went with him. We're going there to Mir Yeshiva. He was actually going to a shul. It's an interesting story. Whatever. So I put it into my computer and I said, "Oh, let's just follow what it says here in Google Maps." And he said, "What are you doing, Craig? Why are you walking here? Why are you walking here? Why are you walking there?" And he just trusts me. And sure enough, we got there in record time by walking, going through a whole maze of streets. Like he, who was there for a number of years, and he thought he knew the city inside out, was amazed how this little gadget was able to take you through this street, cut here,
yeah,
cut there.
Tell you what areas are dangerous.
No, well, obviously, in this section where we weren't going very, very far. No, that's right. If you go in a car, you got to be very, very careful. That is sakana nefesh. Absolutely, absolutely sakana. They tell you not to drive. Americans should not drive because you can end up ways will take you into one wrong turn. You finished. It's sakana that. Sakonis nefashis. Absolutely. We're not talking about that. We're talking over here, walking through the streets of Geula. And a shortcut.
That's Mount Bistra, right?
I think I know. Or what do I know?
Yes.
The American Am Haaretz. You can tell me, you can sniff out an American a mile away. Especially those who are from Flatbush. Okay, so here we have this. Let's look further to Rashi. So Rashi over here, this is the northern boundary. Har har. Next words of Rashi, Vitzafoin, Safoin Ugvul Hamas. Now what does this mean? These are really very mysterious words. This part of the pasuk, we go to north, Gvul Safoin Hamas, Kulaimar, Kometzer Hat Safoin Hamafarish Batara. He learns this to mean it's just a point of reference. Vitzafoin Safoin means go to Chumash Bamidbar, Parshas Masei, look what it says there, and all of the cities and landmarks mentioned there is what you should include in the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Ugvul Hamas, and the boundary of Hamas, Afshi b'metzer ha-tzafon, it's also on the northern side, K'moshe Nemar, v'zeye lechem gvul tzafon min hayom ha-gadol tisu lechem har-har, me-har-har tisu levoy Hamas, v'hoyu to-tzaos ha-gvul tzedada, and the extension Toitzot, the extension of the Gvul, should retake you all the way to the city or the place called Sedada. Hu Sedada, Palmur Khan, that's the same Sedada that's mentioned. What I did, the pasuk we just quoted was the pasuk of Chumash. That is the same Sedada that is mentioned over here in this pasuk. Haderech Chetzloin, Levoy Sedada, that's what's over here in this pasuk. You go on the road called Chetzloin, which will take you to Sedada. Next words, V'es Pasafayin, V'harin Lucha Pasafayin. This is, so he tied the word V'es. The ace, he's translating the hare lecha. You have now, it's a very strange translation of the word the ace. The Mitsudos translated the ace to mean an addition. In addition to all of the cities and all of the boundaries and the entire description, also include in the northern border the pass, the corners. What are the corners? I don't know, some chunk of land that's up there. That's also part of the northern boundary. That is not how Rashi learns these words. Rashi says, we have now concluded the ace, pas, safon. It's an unusual way to explain something. We've gone through 3-4 psukim, trying to delineate the exact path or the exact area of the boundary, and we have finished. The ace, this concludes now, pas, safon, the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi is translating the word v'es with the word v'hare. This, and behold,
In summary,
we have now described to you the northern border. Okay, now before we go further, the Malbum, just one piece of Malbum, I marked off here in the Malbum, he says, Okay, he just said it's the beginning of the Malbim. This is just the first paragraph of the Malbim. And Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'hayom Mefarish HaChevel HaHevdel Sheyia Bein Shom Bein Gvul HaKoidem Uvein Gvul Shel Ata. According to the Mitzudos, this Pasuk coming to point out the difference between the past and the future. Return to Loimar. HaGvul HaSher Hoya Tchila Min HaYom HaChatzar Einon. So he's a very unique translation, a whole new translation. When it says here, HaYom HaChatzar Einon, it's not like Rashi, not like the Mitzudos. He's saying, in the past, the northern boundary was from the Yam until Chatzar Einon. Now, push it all the way up. Now, raise the boundary. This, that, in the past was. One more time, look at the words inside. What we'll see inside the words. Mefarish ha-hevdil she-yosham ben gvul ha-koidem ben gvul shel-ata, written in Leimar, ha-gvul asher hoya techila, originally, min hayom chatzar einon, yiye-ata will now be gvul damesek. Yimoshech min hayom, it will be drawn from the yam, le-damesek, shehu mitzofoin le-chatzar einon, which is much more north of the old border chatzar einon. Ve-yitoysef oid, Tzofoin tzofoina. Not only that, go even higher. Go even higher. Hu achut sheyimoshech latzofoin min gvul hatzofoini. Hainu mitzofon ledamesek. Higher than Damesek, more north. Shuchotzer hatichoin asher al gvul charvon. Okay, we'll leave it with that. So it's coming over here to give a new interpretation that it's not coming as a statement that this is the boundary plus a little bit more. What used to be the old boundary in the Torah is now being changed and upgraded to be drawn more north to give you more land. Okay, that is his interpretation. Okay, let me see if I have anything over here. I want to show you where it says land's going to shrink. I'm looking for that. I wrote that down over here. The land's going to shrink. Let's see. Okay, we'll come to it, I think, on the next page. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches. Ufa'as Kodim. Now we're going to go down the eastern boundary. That's very complex. Now, why is the east complex? Because in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave a chunk of the land on the Eiver Hayarden to who? To Reuven, God, and Chasid Shevet Menashe. So, what's going to be when Mashiach comes? Will that land still be part of Eretz Yisrael, or will that land be returned to Amon Umoyav? And Gilad. I mean, that was not a lechatchila. Think about it. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, that was not plan A. Plan A was for everyone to cross over the Yarden and to take land on the Eiver HaYarden. All of a sudden, Reuben, God, says, no, Moshe, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. We like what we see in front of us. And so the Yarden is a shocking thing. So Moshe was very upset. What are you out of your mind? We left Mitzrayim to go into Eretz Yisrael. This is not Eretz Yisrael. What are you doing over here? It's okay. We like it. It's good enough for us. So Moshe consulted with Hashem, and Hashem says, "Yeah, I'm going to give it now, Kiddushas Haaretz." If you read the Pesukim of Kiddushas Mikra, I mean, it's just shocking. You're coming out of Hashem was giving you Eretz Yisrael. This is not Eretz Yisrael. You're stopping off at Uganda, and you like it, and you want to make this into your state. That's exactly what seemingly what happened. They came out of Mitzrayim. They went to Kabul the Torah, 40 years in the desert. No, New York is also good. We'll settle for New York. Why should we go to Yerushalayim? We like it over here. We like it over here in New York, and we don't need to go to Yerushalayim. You, everyone else, you go. We'll see, we'll come visit you on Sukkot. We'll come for Hanukkah, we'll come on a plane, El Al, we'll come visit you. But we'll stay over here. So Moshe was furious. So Hashem says to Moshe, it's okay, I'll give it also Kedushas Haaretz. Isn't that shocking? We're so used to it, so we don't even think about it. But what's going to be when Mashiach comes? When Mashiach comes, and the land's going to be given the Kedusha all over again, is Eiver HaYarden going to be part of Eretz Yisrael? This is a major machlokes. It's a major machlokes in the Rishonim, and a lot of it is rooted in the pasuk that we're going to read right now. Because the pasuk over here says, V'hoyu gvul min hayom, chatzar einon, the gvul on the east will be from the yam called that is found by chatzar. Ufas kodim, sorry, pasuk yitches, ufas kodim, mibein chevron, it will begin between Hebron, which unfortunately we don't have on our picture. Oh, we do have on our picture. We do have Hebron. You see Hebron? Okay. It's between Hebron, Umibein Damesek. Okay, there is Damesek and Hebron. So you drew a line somewhere down the middle between Hebron and Damesek. Now, obviously, that is Aver HaYarden. According to the simple reading of the pasuk, this indicates that indeed the part that's Aver HaYarden will be part of Eretz Yisrael. Umibein HaGilad and between Gilad. Okay, now you see Gilad is between Gilad. You see there Damesek, Gilad, Hebron, and Gilad. Umibein Eretz Yisrael HaYarden. What does that mean? This is not part of Eretz Yisrael. And between the land of Yisrael, HaYarden, the Yarden, which is all the way to the left, Migvul, from the boundary, Al HaYom HaKadmoini, of the Yam HaKadmoini, the Yam on the east side, Tamodu you shall measure, the Eis Pas Kodima, and according to Rashi, oh, that summarizes the east side, the east boundary. It's very, very cryptic. Okay, it's almost impossible to translate these words literally, and that's why it's open for interpretation, and everyone has a different interpretation of what this extremely cryptic pasuk means, how we're going to describe the east boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Let's see the Mitzudos first, pasuk Yud Ches. Ufa'as Kodim. Hagvol mipa'as kodim yeh mibein chavron sh'amdo chutz lagvol b'tzvayna, which chavron stands outside of the northern boundary, v'nis'akmo el ha-mizrach, it turns to the east, el mul ha-yarden, opposite the yarden. I don't know, the mitzvah to me is not making it any clearer. I don't have any clarity in this at all. Umibein damesek she'amda b'gvul eretz Yisrael b'tzvoyna v'nis'akma gam hi el ha-mizrach el mul chavron kasher hi b'tzura, which is seen in the picture. Now, I don't know which picture is referring to. Okay, in the back of the sefer, I don't know if he doesn't have any picture. There's no picture that I came across from the Mitzudos. I don't know what he's referring to. He wrote a lot of pictures, but I don't know what he refers to.
The diagram you gave us.
Who, that's Mikra. This is a very general diagram without getting into any controversy. Okay, this is the Sefer, the Atlas Das Mikra. Okay, this is very, very general. But the Mitzudos obviously had his understanding. Let's go further. And then he says, Umibein Agilod Shamda B'Mizrach Eretz Yisrael Chutz L'Gvul Ki Hi Be'Ever HaYarden HaMizrachi Umibein Eretz Yisrael Hu Ever HaYarden Hamaravi. Now we see it when it says Ever HaYarden, he means on the west side. Okay? On the west side, meaning the main part of Eretz Yisrael, not what we call today the West Bank. What it means over here, the real west side. Hu Ever HaYarden Hamaravi Sheshmo Eretz Yisrael Be'etzem Me'oz Nochalu Oisa. The pasuk seems to say that the real Eretz Yisrael is the old entire portion that is west of the Yarden. Hayarden Nigvul, Ritzon Loimar, Hayarden Yeh Ligvul, Bein Chavron, the Yarden will be the boundary, Bein Chavron Vehagilad, Shemizeh, Ubein Damesek, the Eretz Yisrael, Shemizeh, Kihu Hamafsik Beinayim. I don't know what that means, I'm sorry. I really don't know what this means. Al Hayom, Gvul Hamizrahi Tamodu, on the Yom you shall measure, Ad Kalois Hayom Hakadmoini, Hu Hayom Hamelach. You shall measure all the way until the Yam HaMelech. Okay, so in this picture you see the Yam HaMelech, you see a very small little thing here on the top, towards on the upper portion. You shall measure. Ha'oymeid b'miktsoya droimis mizrachis, it's in the southeast corner, shall Eretz Yisrael. V'eis pas kodima, ritzon olaymar v'harelcha eskvul pas kodim. Rabbi Sai, I'm sorry, I have really no clue what this means. I really have no idea. Let's see Rashi. Maybe Rashi is a little more clear. Rashi pasuk Yudches Umibein Rashi Yudches Umibein Hagilad Umibein Eretz Yisrael Netzer Mizrachi Shel Eretz Kanan. We're now coming to describe the eastern boundary of Eretz Kanan. The Ein Aver Hayadin Mesech Mitzroyim Halalu. The Aver, and Rashi over here says in the incredible Chiddush, the Aver Hayardain is not part of these boundaries. Ki Im Eretz Kanan Levado. V'chein bagvulim hamimutzarim b'tayra. When the Torah describes the land of Eretz Yisrael, does not include the Eiver HaYarden. Ein Eiver HaYarden b'secham. V'chein perush hamikra hazeh. Umetzer Mizrahi, the eastern boundary, Le'eretz Kanaan, asher bein Charvon v'damesek, between Charvon v'damesek, I guess that's above where the Yarden begins. Ha'im deim lo b'mitzot sefonis Mizrahis, this is on the northeast side, k'mosh amol l'malo b'inyan, uvena gila v'eretz Yisrael, between gila and Eretz Yisrael, asher be'ever ha'yarden Mizracha, which is on the Ever ha'yarden on the eastern side. Okay, that's part of the boundary. Hayardein migvul adyam hakadmoini tomodu. Hayardein hu metzer mizrach. The Yarden is the eastern boundary. Shalah. Migvul mitzah hatsafon hu chatsar einon. Hamafosh lamala. Ad hayam hakadmoini hu yam melach. Shu mitzah droimis mizrachis tomodu. You shall measure orich metzer mizrachi, the eastern boundary. The af batara kach mafarash. Gvul kedma vahoyu toitzasov yam melach b'mitzah droimi. The eis pas kodima kloimar. V'harei l'cha pas kodim. That is the eastern boundary. Now, the Yam HaKadmoni is the Yam HaMelech, which is like where it says Binyamin. Okay, where it says on the Binyamin. So basically, he's drawing for us in this pasuk different sections. Let's try to read again. In general terms. Pasuk Yud Ches begins with pas kodim. So the highest portion is Mibein Chavron is in the area of Chavron. Now that's not the Chavron in our picture. In our picture, Chavron is much lower down. This has to be much, much higher up. And then when it says Mibein Damesek, there's an area below Chavron called the area of Damesek. And then there's a third area called Mibein Hagilot. And then there's a fourth area. Umibein Eretz Yisrael Hayarden. Another area which begins with the Yarden is Migvul, and this goes all the way down. The Yarden is the boundary until you get to the Yam HaKadmoni, which we're calling over the Yam HaMelech, Aleim HaKadmoni, Tomodu, that is the Eis Pas Kodima. So you want to break it up. I think it's really four parts. There are four parts to the Gvul. The highest part is called the Bein Chavron. The second part is called the Bein Damesek. The third part is called the Bein Hagilad. Maybe let's go for then there's something Umibein Eretz Yisrael Hayarden. That's the fourth part. And the Yarden goes all the way down to the bottom until the Yam HaMelech. So it appears to be on a very, very simple level, in very general terms, we're describing four different sections of the eastern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, anything I wanted to write over here, I wrote down here. In the Malbum, I checked off one section. Okay, in the Malbum and Pasuk, all right, let's leave it out. It's not important for now. Okay, Pasuk Yutes. Now we go past Negev. Okay, let's finish up. Past Negev. Now we're at the southern border. We're now at the southern border of Israel. Past Negev, Teimana. What is the southern border? Teimana on the south. Mitamar. Do you see a Tamar? Yes, you do. On this picture, you see a Tamar. A city called Tamar on the very, very bottom. Ad Me Merivos Kadesh. Where is that? Merivos Kadesh does not show you where that is in the picture. It goes down from Tamar. Nachala shall be an inheritance El Hayam HaGadol. It turns all the way into the Yam HaGadol. The Eis Pas Teimana Negba. And this is the southern border. And what is the western? Well, that's easy. Pasuk Chaf. Last Pasuk. Okay, Ufas Yam. What is the western border? Hayam HaGadol. Migavul, from its edge, Ad Nochach Levo Hamas, all the way until Hamas, all the way up on top, the entire edge of the Yam HaGadol, the coast, is the Zos Pas Yam. This is the Pas Yam. This is the western border. Let's see these two people. We'll finish. Pasuk Yites in the Mitzudos David, Ufas Negev, Agvul, Mipas Negev Yemitamar, Vitachin Shazoch Chatzon Tamar. This is Chatzon Tamar in the Torah. Chumash Nemar v'hinam b'chatzon Tamar ki ein gedi. V'ein gedi, hu muskar b'Yoshua. It's muskar in Yoshua b'or Yehuda shoyi b'nachalasa b'fas hadroimi on the seventh side. Ki ein zemokam yirichoyim iratamarim. So he's coming to say, maybe when it says Tamar, referring to Yerichoy, that cannot be. Yerichoy is much, much more north. Irat Marim, ki under Yerichoy, min agvul mo'od, chasher nira betzur, chalukas eretz Yisrael, bimei Yoshua. Cannot be. This Tamar is a different Tamar. It's chatzitzon Tamar. Then it says, ad mei, mi Tamar ha'lach agvul, goes the gvul al mei merivas kodesh, hi midbar tzin, kemosh nemar, bimei merivas kodesh midbar tzin. Nachla, Nachala, we turn Loimar Misham Holach Agvul Nachal. Oh, so Nachla means it goes to the stream. It goes to Nachal Mitzrayim. It goes Nachal Misham Misham Elayim Agadol. Ve'iskvul Harelucha Gvul Pas Negev Ufas Yom Pasachov Hagvul Mipas Yom Yeg Yom Agadol Min Agvul VeYichoshet Eretz Yisrael Ad Noichach Ad Mol Hamokim Shaboim Derech Ba El Hamas Hamuska B'Torah VeHu Har Har K'mosh Nemar. Minayam Hagadol to Solochem, Horahor, Horahor to Solochamos, Zos Pasyam, Zos Hagvul Pasyam. So Hamas is synonymous with Hor Hahor. Okay, let's see Rashi, and we're finished. Rashi, Pasuk Yutesim Chof. Rashi, Mitoma Miyurichoi. So Rashi is disagreeing with the Mitsudois. Rashi says this is very, very, very difficult. This is extremely difficult to understand. That it says that the southern border of Eretz Yisrael is Yerichoy. That's not what when you learn Yoshua, no one's going to tell you that Yerichoy is in the south. Yerichoy is all the way up north. Where's Yerichoy today? Not all the way, but I mean relative to the southern boundary. Okay, relative to the southern boundary, it's much, much more north. So he says, that's what he says. That's the south. So obviously, do we really even know what Yerichoy is? We think that we know what Yerichoy is. Today there is Yerichoy, the Arabs, right? They have Yerichoy. Is that ancient Yerichoy? Now, the ancient Yerichoy was destroyed and it was not allowed to be rebuilt. However, they do tell us is that it was rebuilt, but not mamish on the spot. The only the prohibition to rebuild Yerichoy is not to rebuild it on the spot of the old Yerichoy. So half a mile from the old Yerichoy. And in fact, if I remember hearing, we know today there are remnants of the old Yerichoy. Okay, it's rubble. They've done archaeological digs and they have remnants, and it's not so big. It's not such a big city. Is that the ancient Yerichoy? Many will tell you yes. But then if that's the ancient Yerichoy, then this is very difficult because that is a lot more north than what is known to be the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi's saying maybe the archaeological these people, they got it all wrong. They got it wrong. Maybe that's not what Yerichoy is, the old way in the south. That changes the dynamics of the whole Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Where do they enter from? So Admei, that's what it says. More than this, I do not know. Admei Merivos Kodesh Hi Midbar Tzin. Then it turns all the way to the left to Midbar Tzin. Nachala El Hayam HaGadol. Umisham Hoylech HaGvul Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. What is Nachal Mitzrayim? Mystery, right? Hanoifel Bayam HaGadol B'Miksud Ramis Maravis. It falls into the corner of the southwest corner. V'Af Moshe Kachnos and Gvul Negev Midbar Tzin Al Yidei Edoim. The Midbar Tzin, which is near, like you see in this picture, it's right opposite Edoim. Ad Atzmoin, which flows into Nachla Mitzrayim, and it goes into the Yamamelach, into the Yamagodol. Nachla Makan Kmo Linachal. The He at the end is equivalent to a Lamed in the beginning. Matsas Miturgam A Achasona. Now he finds that he goes into some Dilvi, he finds someone to translate the word Achasona, which means an inheritance. Right, so that's how I really translated in the beginning, and he says that's wrong. Ve'im lo she'atam lamata, ve'ro'isi nachla mitzrayim she'atam lamala u'moseres olav les betama hayis emes shibushu. In other words, the problem with saying that is, where is the trop? The trop is under the lamet. Where is the accent? The accent. Now over here, notice it's really both. There is a meseg under the nun. And the ta'am is under the lamed. A ta'am always serves as a mesek. And in fact, the ta'am is even stronger. When you have a word, you have the trup under one letter, and you have a messing under another letter, you have to really emphasize both letters. Here we have both. So he's saying over here, that creates the problem, because a nachal, the emphasis under the nun. A nachalah, the emphasis under the lamed. So therefore, what is this word? Here it says, nachalah, there is a trup under the lamed, and there is a mesig under the nun. So is it really nachal, a stream, or is it nachalah, an inheritance? It can go both ways. Because you really have both ta'am, you have double emphasis. So he writes over here, Rashi, Umotzasim miturgam achasana, inheritance. The imloisha tam lamata. Tam lamata means it's on the lamit. If not for the fact that the taka, there's a tam on the lamit, very easy nachala mitzrayim shatam lamala umusaris alav, and a nachal has the tam lamal under the nun, and less b'ta'ama, and Nachal does not have trup over there. Nachal, the trup is not on the nun. The trup is also, there's no trup on the nun. On it, Hayis Omer Shibushu V'loy Tigim Yonison Kain Ki Im Korohim Toim. I would say that it's a mistake, and there are Korohim readers who don't know what they're doing, who have translated the Targum could not possibly have translated it as an inheritance, but it's not a mistake. Because indeed, since over here the tam here is under the lamed, and the tam is under the lamed, like we have in our pasuk, so maybe they're right. Maybe taka, the word is not a stream. Maybe really it's a nachalah with the emphasis under the lamed, which means an inheritance. So Rashi over here has come to say that this is a word which we really don't know what it means. It can mean a stream. And it can mean an inheritance. If it will be a stream, then it should say nachal. And there should not be any ta'amei hamikra on this word. And if the word means nachalah, then it should be with the way it is in our pasuk, but there should not be a mesek underneath the nun, like we have in our edition. You have in your edition the mesek under the nun? What? What do you have in your edition? When it says Nachla, zero little line? Yeah, there's a line. So therefore, there's both. It's a very, so Rashi basically over here is coming to point out is that this word is a very complex word. The line underneath the nun and the trup underneath the lamed, each one is advocating for a different translation of the word. The tam under the lamed indicates that it's an inheritance, and the line under the nun indicates that it's a nachal. It is a stream. So therefore, I can't say anyone is mistaken. Rashi says over here, the Targum says something which is not what I thought it to be. But you know, the Targum may indeed be right. And if not for the fact that there is a trup in this pasuk under the lamed, then that's really what gives them legitimacy. And if not for that trup under the lamed, I would have to say that the Targum could never possibly have written such a thing. And some person who was an editor who did not know the laws of grammar, he gave this translation. But now that indeed there is a ta'ameh hamikra under the lamed, maybe indeed they are right. Pasuk chaf ufas yom u'metzra maravi. And what is metzra maravi? Hayom ha'gadol me'gul anech ha'l'v'chamos. Like we said before, that concludes, I know over time we want to finish the gevulos, so we conclude the gevulos, we finish. Okay, so these are the gevulos we've gone through today, the four boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Very, very fascinating, there's a lot more that I didn't tell you. But it's a lot of these things are very mysterious. We don't know the exact details.
Rashi was after Mishnah David.
No, much before. Much before. Rashi was much before the